With both hands on the steering wheel, Azimuth wound out the Baja Bug on the long straightaway, loving the way the oversized off-road tires juddered, the vehicle's independent suspension gobbling up the ruined highway's ruts and rills. The engine howled at redline. In his rearview mirror was a wall of yellow dust. He had his APC crew polarized goggles up. The hot valley wind pressed against his face like the palm of a great gritty hand. In his lap was a pre-dark portable CD player, one of the perks of traveling with a carny. The earphones clamped down over his dreadlocks. His head nodded to reggae while the Bug rumbled down the road. One of the best parts of Azimuth's scouting advance man job for Gert Wolfram's world-famous carny was having no boss man hanging over his shoulder. He could do whatever he wanted. He could arrive at the performance sites where he was fed and liquored bastard well, and then fuck seven ways from Tuesday, all for free. And all without anyone hassling him about being on the clock. Today he was headed to Perdition's Sisterville, Paradise, where the carny's next performance was scheduled in 2 days. The place was renowned for having the best gaudy sluts west of the Shens. He couldn't wait. Azimuth didn't see the rude barricade that completely blocked both sides of the road until he was almost on top of it. Made of a pile of broken chunks of concrete, it had a sign propped up in front of it.
Fuck it, eh?
He took his foot off the accelerator and locked up the brakes. As the Baja Bug slewed right, its rear end swinging out, he steered into the skid with one hand. With the other, he yanked the KG-99 hand blaster from its leather scabbard under the dash. The Bug's nose dipped sickeningly from the sudden braking, and Azimuth's stomach likewise lurched forward. He braced the blaster's vented barrel sleeve against the rim of the missing windshield. A male figure stood by the sign. Azimuth jerked down his goggles and ripped off his headset, holding the sights of the KG-99 on the man. He poked the weapon at the passenger door's windowless frame until the dust cleared.
What the hell are you up to? Why are you fucking with my road?
The man in the wraparound sunglasses and straw hat raised his empty hands and started walking slowly toward the passenger door. The sign leaning against the barricade was a delaminating, irregular chunk of plywood, a painted arrow pointing to the right.
There's a problem up ahead.
There'll be a bigger problem right here, motherfucker, if you don't clear my way, and quick.
Got cave-ins up ahead. The old highway's been undermined by the river.
There's no damn river around here. What the hell do you take me for?
You can't see it anymore. It runs underground now, in some places right below the road. Up ahead, the flowing waters eroded all the earth from under it. Just the thin skin of concrete's left. It won't take the weight of your wag. Trust me. The rod will fall out from under you, and you'll either die in the crash or drown.
Oh, Jesus.
Azimuth killed his engine and scrambled out the driver's door. He swung the hand blaster up over the little wag's roof to keep the bearded stranger covered as he moved for the front bumper.
Stay where you are, goddammit.
He stormed over to the barricade and stared down the road, keeping the KG-99 pointed at the sentinel's chest.
I don't see any fucking holes.
Around the curve. By the time you'd have made the turn, it would have been too late. You'll be rolling over rotten ground. We lost an entire caravan this morning. 18 people and 5 wags. Swallowed up and gone in the blink of an eye.
Azimuth looked at the man carefully for the first time. He noticed how gaunt his face was under the beard, and how even though the sunglasses completely hid his eyes, they couldn't hide the suffering he radiated.
And you're in charge of warning people?
Something like that.
You come from another planet, brother? Or did you just lose your goddamn mind? I came close to chilling you.
Someone had to mark the detour.
Detour?
The stranger pointed to his left, to a two-rut track that ran perpendicular to the highway, leading off in the direction of the darkly forested, savage-looking mountains to the east.
Looks like the wrong damn way to me. And narrow as worm shit.
The road loops up through the foothills and comes back to the highway on the other side of the cave-ins.
Shit. I got a whole damn carny, maybe a day behind on the road. Big wags, trailers, heavy loads. How are they supposed to make it up that pissy little track?
I'm no expert on that. But I suppose it'd depend on how good the drivers were. I'll tell you this, though. There's no turnarounds once you start up that way. You've got to go all the way to the other end before you can come back.
Fuck me.
He lowered his weapon. Part of his responsibility was to make sure the roads were passable. In a detour situation, he was supposed to leave a marker at the turnoff, which would indicate that he'd tested the alternate route, returned, and marked it safe. Unknown to Furlong and Krekka, though, Azimuth usually just marked the route safe, and if it wasn't, he turned back and retrieved the sign. When he leaned into the back seat of the bug, Azimuth wasn't thinking about the potential risks to himself and his caravan. He never heard of a problem along this stretch of road. The lack of water, the crushing heat, and the sheer distance kept organized chillers and robbers from setting up shop. It would take a large, highly organized crew to threaten the carny. As he leaned into the back of the bug, he was thinking about the various attractions of the Blue Moon Gaudy in Paradise. That set of 19-year-old quadruplets who worked in tag-team fashion around the clock until the customer cried for his or her uncle. On the bug's floorboards was a collection of smooth, white quartzite rocks. He selected one and placed it at the foot of the barricade, next to the detour sign.
What's that for?
To let my people know I've gone ahead.
How many folks are in the carny?
Like I'm gonna tell you.
Just curious.
Let's just say it's a goddamn good show.
Maybe I'll get a chance to see it.
You won't be disappointed, that's for damn sure.
Azimuth climbed back into the driver's seat and put the KG-99 away. He cranked the engine over. Then he backed up to give himself room to make the right turn.
Maybe I'll see you in paradise. Look me up at the Blue Moon Gaudy. I'll be under a pile of blondes. Ha!
The man just tipped the frayed brim of his straw hat in salute. Azimuth pulled up his goggles and pulled on his headset as he rolled off the roadway and onto the track. He got the bug into second gear and kept it there as the trail wound back and forth through a series of tight switchbacks that climbed up and away from the pre-dark interstate. The bearded man hadn't been shitting him about there being no place to turn around. Although the one-wag road was wide enough for the big carny vehicles to pass, no way could he even back the bug down it by himself. The turns were too tight, and the road's downward angle was too steep. Getting back down in reverse could be done, but it'd take a very long time. And if one of the wags in the line broke down, it would bottleneck the whole caravan. He drove on doggedly and didn't start to get an antsy feeling until he was about half an hour from the highway. He saw the lower fringe of the forest ahead and stopped the bug, set the parking brake, ripped off his headset, and got out. Above him were towering, densely packed coniferous trees. The two-rut track made a turn just inside the edge of the forest and vanished in among the shadows and the dark, massively thick trunks.
Bloody hell!
When he turned around to look for the highway, he saw it was a thin ribbon running down the middle of the valley.
You better not be fucking with me, you bastard! You don't want me to start fucking back!
Kicking at the dirt with his steel-toe boot, he hopped back in the bug and headed into the shadows. In order to see, he had to switch on his headlights and roof lights. The road continued to climb and twist and turn around the huge trunks. Occasionally, low branches whipped across his empty windshield frame. So far, there would be no problem getting the big wags up the road. As he continued on, Azimuth kept thinking that on the next turn, the track would wind back on itself and start to descend. But it showed no inclination of doing anything of the sort.
You've taken me to the summit, you rat bastard.
It suddenly occurred to Azimuth that there were no animals in these woods. No birds, not even bugs. The heat was smothering, and there didn't seem to be enough air to breathe. Beyond the range of his floodlights was a solid wall of darkness. Then he saw sunlight breaking through ahead. The backlit trees sent a wave of relief passing through him.
About goddamn time.
When the bug crested the top of a rise, it rolled into the open. The man stopped the wagon and got out. Just below him was a small lake, surrounded by a dead zone of stripped barkless trees and muddy banks. On the hillside below the body of water, on a shelf of flatland, was a small vill. There was plenty of room to turn down there. As he watched the jumble of shanties and lean-tos, he saw a few people moving in and out. Folks he could ask about the best way to get back to the highway. Feeling much better, Azimuth put on the headset and drove down to the lake. He paused at the shoreline to lean out the driver's door and look over the placid water. The sky reflected in it without a ripple. Then something caught his eye. A quivering shadow.
What?
It was in the water. The spot of darker color began to grow. As it did, it bubbled and churned. Silvery bits, like tiny mirrors, started to rise from the water, forming a churning cloud. Then came the pale green lightning, shooting the wrong way, from the surface of the churning water to the underside of the cloud.
I'll be damned.
The cloud got larger and larger. The lightning became more violent. When the strange storm started to drift across the lake toward him, Azimuth decided he had seen enough. Even as he reached for the parking brake, the first of the pale spores swept over the bug, angling in through the glassless window frames. Azimuth sniffed at the air. It was all over. His brain exploded in vibrating waves of color, color so pure and so intense that it obliterated everything else. He couldn't feel his body, which had gone rigid with shock. The Carney scout sat there for the better of 10 minutes, his eyes rolled back in their sockets, quietly convulsing. 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 years. The concept of passing time ceased to be part of his mental framework.